Pickaxe.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to High... Wait a minute. What's that sound? Oh, it's the pre-show announcement alarm that I just made up, only reserved for super important announcements. It must be going off because the High Rollers are going to MCM Comic-Con in London on the 26th and 27th of October. If you're going and would like to meet us, there'll be signings on both days and a live show on Friday 26th. Exact timings are coming up, so follow us on Twitter at HighRollersDND to see exactly when they'll be. Or just wait for me to talk about it in the podcast, either or. Oh, and also, we've just released some Eros-themed metal dice on store.yogscast.com. Use the code HIGHROLLERS on checkout to get 10% off any order. Oh, and by the way, these pre-show announcements won't happen all the time, so don't worry about that. Anyway, let's try again. Hello everyone! Welcome back to High Rollers, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast in the world of Eros. Run by Dungeon Master Mark Sherlock Humes, with me, Tom, playing Kelek Ad-Kalar, the bard slash cleric.
I am Chris Trott, I'm playing Lucius Viren Elowin Elenastro, and I am a High Elf Sorcerer.
Hi, I'm Rhiannon, I'm playing Sentry, I am a Guardian Paladin.
And I'm Kim, I'm playing Nova, who is an Air Ganassi, and she is a Hexblade Warlock.
A huge thank you to our sponsors, D&D Beyond and Brilliant.org, for sponsoring this episode. Check the episode description for more information about them. We've just caught up to the shadow-walking Goliath who kidnapped Vala. It's time to get revenge.
Can you imagine that? We should do that. A High Rollers Yogg's Crystal Maze. That'd be amazing. Yeah, would you watch it? Let us know.
Just to start mid-conversation. Sure.
Yeah, you can edit this, Tom. It's fine for the podcast.
Fine. It'll be easy.
Let's do the recap for last week's High Rollers episode. The party have been getting to know the residents of a town called Rose Hall and found the place to be a welcome break from the horrors of the airship crash and deadly lowlands that they've been travelling in. Making friends, plundering chasms, they even got invited to dinner by the town's rumoured bad guy, Brett Brookstone, who welcomed the party as honoured guests and introduced his family.
Wow!
I can't say.
Please cut that, Thomas.
I'm the worst!
Don't do it! I can't help it!
Oh, this is going to take so much work.
However, the pleasant evening was cut short as the town sheriff, Phil Warden Merrick, arrived to inform the party that something had happened back at the inn that they were staying at. Sadly, Sister Yusuf and Brother Corin, two priests of Siaska, that the party had helped save from the airship, and the caretakers for a young girl called Vala had been killed.
Trot's laughing now, so that burp has to stay in.
Well, it doesn't.
It does, because now it doesn't make sense.
With Vala, it could just make Trot an absolute dick.
With Vala missing, a really sad, horrible moment here, guys.
Yep. With Vala missing, the party quickly realized she'd been kidnapped by a tall Goliath who had the ability to travel through shadows. You secured horses, made off in quick pursuit, eventually giving up the horses and the road to delve into the looming forest of the Iron Weald. However, on the trail, Quill spots a figure looming ahead, and as Sentry sent Echo to investigate, the Guardian's companion was sadly destroyed. And the very last thing we see is the last image that Echo has is of this tall, grey-skinned, tattooed Goliath with a long barbed chain, kind of swinging this weighted end, slamming it into Echo. As it breaks apart, the rest of you see Sentry stagger back, clutching her head as this kind of psychic energy erupts. Did you take that four damage?
I took the four damage.
Perfect. And that is where we begin today.
Damn.
So,
anger.
What would you like to do? This figure is no more than maybe 100 feet sort of in the forest ahead of you, directly ahead of you. I'm assuming you're all kind of crouched down or you're kind of all hidden behind
trying
trees
to be stealthy
at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Sentry has this moment.
Yeah. So,
So we know there's four of them.
Yes, you knew that four had left Rose Hall, yes.
We saw Sentry. I guess we would have heard the chain as well?
You probably would hear the smash and splintering. And then the main thing is you just hear Sentry's screaming as she's screams as she holds her head.
Oh, so she's given away the position.
Yeah, there. I don't want to speak for Sentry, but I'm assuming there would be some sort of audible cry.
Because
know that Echo is destroyed.
Yeah.
You instantly know, you feel this loss of connection.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, what would anyone like to do?
He's gone.
Anybody doing anything immediately?
I'm mad.
Okay.
I'm real mad, and I want to...
Yeah. What happened?
I'm mad as
hell. You okay?
No, I'm not okay. Echo's gone.
Shh. I'm sorry. What? What do you mean Echo's gone?
He's there. He killed Echo.
He killed Echo?
Echo's gone.
Who killed Echo?
He was the shadow. He was there.
The tall man.
It's really close.
Well, we've caught up to him at least.
Now they may now know we're here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sentry.
We have to fight. I'm ready.
So Quill, with this momentary distraction, when you glance back, you were the one that initially saw him ahead of you. You look back now, and he has vanished.
Oh,
Shadows?
Yeah, probably the shadows. I think he might have just teleported away. I think we need to chase him.
How? How do we chase... That which...
Well, he's the only one that, as we know of, can, warp through shadows and stuff. The other three that he's with, I don't think they can, so we can chase them.
Buddy,
yeah?
There's shadows everywhere.
Yes, the canopy of the Iron Weald, it's quite a overcast day, and the canopy of the Iron Weald is very thick. So even though it's daytime, it's like early morning, there is still quite a lot of shadows in between the trees, the rocks, the hills.
Well, I and Echo saw him, but we didn't see Vala. So Vala must be with the other three. And as far as we're aware, they can't teleport through shadows.
But he could teleport just in front of us and destroy us. I don't want to bring it up again. But
do we have a light source?
You can, if you have them, yeah. If you have, torches or lights or spells, you can all use that.
He's gone, right?
Well, I suppose, but if you're worried about him...
Let's recover Echo. Get Echo back or something. Can you do something about Echo?
I can't fix him right now.
But we can pick him up, right?
We can try to, and whatever's left of it, if I can find it.
If you're worried about the shadows, use your lights to just light up any shadows.
Immediately, I would cast lights and start spinning them violently around the party.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. That's just lit us up like a big glowing target.
Also, the other thing, Nova, I think you'd be the one to pick up on this. Whilst the lights are indeed kind of dispelling shadows immediately around you, as the lights are moving, they're causing longer shadows to stretch out from the trees and things like that, because they're providing a direct light source that then creates a more firm shadow behind things like trees and rocks. And as he's spinning them, these are constantly shifting as well.
That's better.
I hate to point this out, but you're making larger shadows.
What do you mean?
Look,
light doesn't do that.
Look over there, and I point, and it's like, look, as it passes to them, the shadow is longer. It's longer.
She's right about that.
Spiders.
Snuff them out.
Okay, what? So what's the plan?
How do you stop a shadow?
How flammable are these trees?
Berry!
Whoa, hang on. I mean, we can't just set fire to the entire forest. The Vala's in here, and that's the way we're here.
Let's go pick up Echo first, and then go from there.
I mean, okay.
It's just over there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose. I think we should get Echo and then immediately... we know they're close by. The other three, as I said, they can't just disappear in a shadow.
Either they'll come to us, or we'll find them.
At the very least, we'll find Vala.
Let's make a circle and face outwards for all times. And I'll put dancing lights in the middle so there's no shadows behind us.
But no, if the lights are behind us, the shadows will be in front of us.
Yes, but then he'll always be in front of us.
I suppose that's a good idea.
It's a better idea than what we currently have.
Yeah. But I think we've already know that he can only move through shadows, not just see a shadow and just...
Birdie, I'm an intellectual. I think I've got this covered.
Okay.
okay. up to you.
So what's the plan? you're gonna go to where Echo last was and try and recover Echo's
Except
remains.
We're pointing in each cardinal direction.
So you're going to move as like a little unit.
Like a crab.
No, I mean, joking aside, you can move in a formation, the four of you, where you're basically keeping your backs to each other. You're going to use dancing lights to keep the middle of you lit up.
So what I'm doing with the dancing lights is I've got four of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting them vertically in a column so okay. they end up really high.
Yep.
And can I roll an intelligence check for Lucius?
I mean, no, this trick, Chris, whatever Chris Trott can think of, I think you can do.
Excellent. We've got the same intelligence. So high up. The shadows would be shallower.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to stack a vertical column and then keep the lights high up.
Yes.
Okay.
So that you create shallower lines.
Yes.
So okay. You still have the natural light creating shadows as well, but this is more to keep it from directly around you, right? Okay. So yeah, you're kind of moving ahead in this formation with each one of you kind of like keeping like a field of view so that if this person or the group try and get behind you, you'll have an easier time of seeing them. And yeah, you eventually make your way to the area where Echo was unfortunately destroyed. And you can see it's a series of trees and a few rocky outcroppings, and it's near the remnants of a campfire and three bedrolls that were laid out on the ground. If you guys would like to place yourselves, so if we go from that, so you guys are up here, so put yourselves in that four square formation.
I suppose Sentry would be taking the front.
Yeah, you can do that, something like that. So you guys start moving your way up, and as you do notice that obviously things like the dancing lights, it will cause the shadows to shift and move around. So like where these load of shadows here were, they now kind of stretch out this way.
Okay.
Oh, you've actually drawn shadows on the map. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Why is that interesting?
It's interesting.
So as you do, like, the shadows do begin to warp and form. I might not be able to do this every single time.
Okay, we get it. So wherever we are, the shadows are kind of...
So behind. As you start moving towards... I do need everybody to roll initiative.
Of course you do.
With a brand new Aurora's dice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's do that for
first me. Roll.
Sure.
Wow. Let's hope it's a good sale for the public.
14.
So 14.
Solid middle.
So total, was 14. It 14? Lucius.
We're all 10.
Nova?
10.
Excellent. Quill?
11.
And then Sentry?
Initiative. 9.
Plus 1.
Plus 1, 10.
That's
a very middle of the road initiative.
Yeah. Okay. So, as you begin making your way up, Quill, you're desperately trying to keep an eye out and using, even with your passive perception, unfortunately, you don't see this coming due to certain rolls. However, you at the last second, you see a form begin to emerge out of the shadows cast by a tree just to the side. This large, hulking figure, grey-skinned, no hair, but you can now see kind of like metal studs embedded into the skull and red veins crawling up their neck and along their arms, just kind of pulls himself in a very swift motion, literally pulls himself out of the shadows along the ground, swinging this large train. And you can see these dead eyes look around at all four of you as he just kind of grins, and you can see his teeth have been filed into fangs, like jaws of teeth.
Why would he do that?
How's he swinging
this
the whole
spike
train?
Chain, he sees the four of you, but he doesn't necessarily have an idea of all of your abilities yet. So the spike chain, this weighted end, you can see it has two ends. One is bladed and one is weighted, like with a heavy weight. The weighted end swings out towards Quill.
Me?
Yeah.
Can I do
you've got any
horrible
epic battle music, Sam? Now's the time.
I looked at the group, saw a one-armed bird and thought, yeah.
Would a 15 hit Quill?
Yes, it would.
You got really sad music after that, Sam.
You want to impose disadvantage?
Yes, please.
Within 5 feet, yeah. Protection.
Still a 15. So, Quill, you take 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And also, this chain wraps around you, sealing your arms. You are currently grappled, and you need to use your movement to escape. But you can see he's wrapped this weighted chain around one end. He will then take a small step forward. And you can see, in fact, actually, no, he'll just take a step to the side. You can see he's got about 10 foot of reach with this chain. And then the bladed end comes screaming towards Sentry.
Oh, wow.
16 to hit Sentry.
That is not AC. Enough, 18.
So you bring up the shield or something like that, the shield just knocks this kind of like bladed thing, and you can see him kind of grunt, he's just like, and then he whips it back into his hand, catching it freely, and as he yanks, you kind of almost feel yourself pulled a little bit, Quill.
Right.
He's then going to try that again against Sentry.
What?
That's three attacks. That's going to be a 25 to hit Sentry.
Oh, nice. Do you think that hits?
So that's going to be 6 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And he is going to knock you prone with that.
Oh, wow. Cute, man.
So this one, he actually hooks it on your leg and you feel this kind of bladed thing hook into the wooden fibers of your body. It yanks it, and as it does, it kind of pulls you to the floor.
God damn.
And then he's just going to turn. He's just like, "You should run now, before I feel my hunger."
No way, Jose.
Lucius.
No.
You're the first one to react to this. He's currently got Quill grappled. And then he's just knocked Sentry on her ass. And you can see him, like, spinning this thing.
What armor is he wearing?
He is wearing studded leather, it looks like. Dark leather. Almost pitch black, like dyed black leather.
I'm going to
with studs
down using Sentry's large body as a sort of quarter cover.
Okay.
She's got a shield there.
Yep. So you're going to like lay down next to Sentry.
Not lay down, but like kneel down.
Okay. You ducking. Won't get cover necessarily because she's like prone. She's on her back.
You're using her as a meat shield.
I mean,
a wood shield.
A wood shield?
Yeah. So Sentry is currently there. If you wanted to try and get cover, you'd need to literally be like laying down next to her.
All right. I'll prone it.
Okay, so you voluntarily go prone.
What?
I've still got my movement.
Yep.
So I'm going to go prone.
Yep.
I'm going to cast Melf's Acid Arrow.
Okay, so you kind of lean up and...
What? Melf's Acid Arrow.
I've done it before once.
Is that what it's actually called? Melf.
Yeah, nice. It's a little like...
Zoom 14.
14 does hit.
Oh shit, in my mouth. That's great. 4d4 acid damage.
Nice.
And 2d4 at the end of its next turn.
Okay, you're gonna have to remind me of that though.
10.
Okay, 10. Okay, so this streak of globule of acid, and I checked my own rules, by the way, your dichromancy, it can be any creature within range. It doesn't have to be a different target. So we've been doing that slightly wrong. That's my fault.
There's been a lot of combat doing that.
Yeah. So your dichromancy you can use, because this is an acid spell.
So that is a D...
I believe it's charisma wand plus something. Check on your...
Yes, you're right. Charisma 3.
So it just does 3, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe it's vengeance.
I'm going to double check, though, because it's been a little while.
Leather vengeance.
Equals the level of his spell plus my level plus... Charisma modifier. So.
Okay, so 3 plus 3.
3 plus 3, 6.
So total of 16. So you watch as this globule of acid, Lucius throws it out. Oh yes, thank you, Sam. Arval Dagos is with them as well.
There was just a message on screen that said, "Chat are freaking out."
Arvil, but spelled like Arvil Levine, which I think is hilarious. Luckily, I rolled a 3 for him, chat, so he's going last.
Yeah. I just like that Arvil, like Genji. Arvil is with you.
So you watch as Lucius kind of drops down next to Sentry, leans over a body, points his little focus in his hand. This acid, like, what does it look like? Like an acid, or like
an arrow that literally just comes out, glowing green, and it maybe leaves a trail of like acid.
As it hits him, it begins to pit his skin, and you can see little pock marks of burning. But he just kind of looks down. It's like, "You are wise to take cover, little mage, but I'll deal with you next."
Well, that's good.
End of your turn.
I'm gonna crawl in as close as I can to Sentry.
Yep. Okay.
Make myself as small as possible.
You can have some cover. He will still have advantage.
We're going to get through this together.
Quill.
We will.
Right, so.
We can do this.
I'm terrified.
The chain that he has wrapped around me.
Yes.
Is it wrapped around his arm as well?
He's holding it. It's not wrapped around his arm. You can see these bulging muscles, and he's holding this chain. And the weight is kind of like, it's all knotted and tied up. Like, you have to wriggle free. So unless you have a spell.
I have an interesting question.
Sure.
I have lightning lure.
Right.
And he's holding a metal chain.
Yes.
Could I cast it on the chain?
Yes, I will give him disadvantage.
Okay, in that case...
If it's a saving throw or advantage on the attack roll.
My movement, I'm going to spin like crazy out of this chain And in the spin...
Well, you're going to make a check for that. That's going to be an acrobatics check.
Is that...
The chain, it's you have to make an action or a movement action, I'm going to say, on this one.
Acrobatics, okay. Yeah. Nine.
So you spin, but the chain is kind of wrapped over itself, and you just end up getting caught, and you're still grappled by this
thing.
Well,
I was hoping it was going to be
so your movement is currently zero.
Okay, cool. I'm still contained in this chain.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another interesting question for you.
Sure.
If I'm casting Lightning Lure...
Yes.
...and I cast it on the chain that is wrapped around me, will it damage me?
Yes. Not for the full damage. I won't have to do the full damage to you, but you'll take a little bit. But I'll also give you either advantage if it's an attack roll or disadvantage on a saving throw.
Okay, fine. I am going to cast Lightning Lure on the chain.
So you grab it with your claw.
Yeah. The target succeeds a strength saving throw, I guess. The chain.
I will give him a disadvantage on that. Strength saving throw, though.
Yeah, okay. So that's a problem.
Well, the first roll was a natural 20. Yeah. My second roll was a 17. So that's 21.
So I can't even pull the chain.
No.
You mean the lightning arcs down it, and normally the spell is like you literally lash out with like a lasso of lightning and then pull the target to you.
Yeah.
But with this, he just kind of grunts, you know, using his strength to like wrench it free or causing the, I guess like he kind of grabs the chain, flicks it to the side, and the lightning kind of arcs off into the ground. You don't take any damage either, though.
No, nor does he.
Yeah.
So I basically just did nothing that turn. Damn it.
You look,
I rolled really well.
So cool.
I rolled really well.
That would have been the moment. Everyone would have looked back and said,
any
hey,
bonus actions you'd like to do?
I've just done a spell, so I guess as a bonus action, I can't do another spell.
No, unless you have an ability that lets you cast a cantrip as well. But you could Bardic Inspiration, or you could use like Channel Divinities if you have them and stuff like that as well.
Channel Divinities.
If they are a bonus action, I don't know.
What are the reaction rules again? If I've done an action already, like this.
So you get everybody gets one reaction per turn.
Okay, an opportunity attack counts as that as well.
An opportunity attack would count as that, yes.
Excellent. Cool. Now I'm going to proceed to try and fit this up my nose.
No!
I am not going to do anything.
You're not going to do Bardic Inspiration or anything? Okay. Sentry and Nova. So I guess probably makes more sense. Nova is more agile, so you'd go first and then Sentry.
Yeah. One question.
Yes.
Would heat metal work on the studs in his head? Or are they more decorative?
You don't think they would have the full effect.
Okay.
They would cause minimal damage.
In which case, I would like to do two things. I want to cast Hexblade.
Same with the studs on his leather armor. Like, okay. It's not quite enough to cause it. Like,
I just thought, heat his brain up.
Yeah.
Idea.
I would like to cast Hexblade Curse on him.
Okay.
Which does various things. But also, can I please cast Suggestion?
You can. So, first of all, Hexblade Curse. So just remind me what that one does. I think it's plus two damage.
So that adds plus two to my damage rolls. I get a crit hit on 19 or 20, and when he dies, I get 5 hit points back.
If he dies, I like that. And that lasts a minute, and it's not concentration, so you can just keep that up. Okay, perfect. And then Suggestion, Wisdom Saving Throw, I'm guessing. And what are you saying? What are you suggesting?
I suggest you stop fighting.
Okay. When you cast the spell, so mark it off, you watch as his eyes kind of turn to you and you see the spell, you're kind of like, what is it, like a vibration in the air or something to signify that you've cast something.
Yeah, I think you see like a kind of like slight blue glow in the air.
And it hits him and you see these red veins going all up and down his neck just pulse. As the spell kind of hits him, his eyes go white for a second, the red veins pulse, and the charm means nothing. He just looks at you, he's like, little mage, don't try and get in my head. I've got enough in there already.
Oh dear. And then can I use my movement to just duck behind this boulder?
Yeah, it says choose a manufactured metal object such as a metal weapon or a suit of heavy or medium armor that you can see. So I'm going to say that the studs aren't enough.
Cool.
So, and then you use your movement to back off,
just to hide behind the boulder.
Okay.
I am not in the shadow.
Yep. Okay.
Not yet.
Sentry.
Hello. I would like to cast Thunderous Smite on this
So you can cast that on your axe. So yeah. fuel your energy into it.
Feel like my eyes are going to glow bright purple. Look, fuel my axe.
I stutter sometimes. Stop laughing at me.
Yes.
I don't make fun of you.
They do.
So what does it look like? You just like channel the energy?
My eyes like glow really bright purple and the axe starts glowing like with purple energy and I just like bang it on my shield.
Nice.
I like the sigil of Solvin maybe glows a little bit and stuff. Yeah, nice. Okay.
And I just like, yeah, I'm that.
Okay, and then what, you want to get up and move up towards him?
Get up and move towards
him. So it's half your movement to stand up.
Yep.
And then you've easily got 15 feet to just...
But where are you going?
Leaving Lucius on the ground.
It's like a little turtle.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, so you charge up towards him, bringing the axe to bear. Yep.
Ready to go.
Yeah, give me an attack roll.
Attack roll... D20.
Plus your bonus.
Plus my bonus is 1d8 plus 3.
That's the damage.
So you see on the attacks. Yeah, go to actions. So the first one is your attack bonus.
So 17.
So that's going to hit, and now you would roll the damage, and then thunderous or whatever your smite damage does as well.
2, that's 5.
So that's 5 for your base damage.
And then extra 2d6 of thunder damage.
Oh, bam.
2d6.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasty.
Nice.
5.
So that's another 5.
And then he has to roll a strength saving throw or be pushed 10 feet away from me or knocked prone.
Okay, so a couple of things happen.
I'm attached to him.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Well, you might be flying away.
Okay, so you watch as he sees you come in. You can see with the trained skill of obviously an expert warrior. He twists his body to anticipate you coming.
Right.
He can't really stop the blow, so you just see him for a moment tense and seem to focus, and his grey skin takes on like a stonish appearance. That the blow hits him, he doesn't go anywhere, and what would have been a really impressive blow into his chest just seems to be absorbed by this stone. And luckily it doesn't look like he can do that again. Like you can see him like kind of stagger and like...
Okay,
like
cool.
Kind of takes a breath. Anybody who's watching will know he's a Goliath and therefore he has this racial ability.
Stone's endurance.
Please, I'll have my movement to move back.
You could, but he would get an attack against you.
Okay, alright.
Because he'd get an attack opportunity if you move out of his threat range.
Okay, can I just like raise my shield up and
you just get ready. Yeah, absolutely. So he kind of like, he kind of stutters for a moment and kind of backs off. He eyes you a bit more warily now. After centuries go, Arvel Dagus.
Yes, Arvel.
I forgot to get a miniature for him. Let's see.
He's the D4.
Arvel would have actually moved over to about here.
Oh, he's just run like the total.
He's not running. This was when you first started. He moves over, gets some cover, and then he brings up Evangeline, his crossbow.
Evangeline.
I'm just going to quickly need to get his stats.
I love Arvel.
Getting range.
So the ranger's getting range.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea for a ranger to do
it's
that.
Like in the name.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
What? Mind blown.
Who'd have thought?
Mind blown.
Alright, I'm not going to take too
far. Find this thing point blank this whole time.
That is something Chris Trott would do.
Point blank crossbow.
Just stand there.
Yeah, he's pissed.
Cool, I'm going to stand here. Okay.
Oh, use a crossbow's a brutality.
Takes a shot. Yeah. Natural 20 on his first attack.
Nice.
That's a natural
20. Good on Arvel.
Nice.
Thanks for turning up.
Okay, let me roll a couple of things for him here.
Sorry we forgot about you, Arvel.
Fucking 10 damage. Jesus Christ, Arvel.
Wow.
Good boy.
Ranger OP.
Yeah, man.
He's not a ranger. He's literally like a scrub. You see the crossbow bolt fold. I'm going to make a saving throw for this Goliath character. He passes, no injury.
Injury. Wait, he's taking injury checks.
Yeah, he is taking injury checks.
Is it, has it been his go yet?
No, it's still Arvel's go, because Arvel fires the shot. You see it hit, and he kind of like, and gets slammed backwards by this heavy crossbow bolt, and you just hear a, that's for you, Sif, you son of a bitch! And then he's like, you see like Arvel like getting ready with a second shot as he flips Evangeline over to its second barrel. It is now, however, his go.
At the end of his turn, it's two.
At the end of his turn, is it? Okay, cool. So, he's going to do a couple of things. Whilst he has Quill grappled, he's going to make an attack against him, which has advantage. That's going to be a 23.
Okay. Yeah, 23 hits. 13 doesn't.
Okay. That's 10 more points of bludgeoning damage as you're crushed, as he tightens the grip of it. And then a red energy cascades along the chain, and you take another 10 necrotic damage. As you feel your life force being drained out by this chain.
I collapse.
And with that, he just whips the chain back, releasing you from the grapple.
It just pulls it. Unconscious body just spins.
As he's still partially in the shadow, after that attack, he vanishes over here.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so he...
You see him, like, he's still got one foot in the shadow of the tree, and as he looks at you, he kind of swipes his arm, you raise the shield, he steps back into the shadow and drops as if it was a hole, and reappears, like, vroom, popping out onto the other shadow.
Yeah.
2d4 acid.
It's not the end of his turn. I'm afraid.
He's still going.
Lucius, as he is now,
he would need to step a little bit out of the
out of the thing to attack you with the other chain attacks. So this is with advantage because you're prone. That's a 23.
Jeez.
Just slips in there.
That's only 6 points of damage, but you are now also grappled as this chain wraps around you.
Oh, it's got
you.
Me.
Yep.
Oh shit.
And then he makes another attack. This time with advantage again, because he has you grappled. That is a 17.
Yeah.
You've got no shield or anything like that? Oh, no, you've got shield, haven't you, Nova?
Yes, me.
So that is going to be another 7 points of bludgeoning. And then you watch as this red energy begins to cascade.
This is fucking brutal.
Only 3 necrotic. I rolled really badly. And she's just like...
I'm only at 3 HP.
You shouldn't have messed with me. You just hear this kind of deep voice kind of graveling out.
I didn't want to! Frankly.
You made the mistake of coming after me.
But you're a brute.
Et tu, Brutus?
At the end of his turn, he takes how much?
2d4.
Roll it for me.
Acid. Ah. 4. Ah. 2.
6. You can see the acid beginning to burn away, but he finally takes the last thing he does is he just grabs his hand, like, swipes all the acid off, stopping it from burning his skin.
Lucius.
I'm going to get up.
By all means.
I'm grappled, aren't I? So I'm kind of in chains trying to get up.
Yeah. You can get up, but, well, no, technically restrained, your speed is 0. So you can get up, but you just can't go anywhere.
Can't go anywhere.
Yeah, you can kind of like hobble to your knees and then stand up. But...
Okay. What I'd like to do, please, DM.
Yes.
Oh, merciful DM.
Yes.
Beautiful DM. Looking radiant today.
I am neutral. You know I'm going to be as neutral as possible. It doesn't matter what you say. What would you like to do?
I'm going to try and acid splash the chain.
Okay.
Just trying to break it.
You want to try and break, so you grab and like you're going to try and burn
focus all my acid splash on it.
Okay.
And then my dichromancy... on it again.
Okay.
Straight from my hand.
Sure. Okay. I'm gonna roll 3d6 to determine the chain's hit points. Okay. It will have resistance to some things, but I don't think it'd be resistant to acid. So sure, roll me an acid splash damage. You don't need to make an attack roll. This is just purely to see if you can hit it.
4.
4 points. You melt huge chunks of it, but these are thick chains, and it looks like there's like almost the chains are resistant to the acid, but it's burning through, not enough to break it though.
Can my dichromancer do an extra 6?
It's acid splash is a cantrip, it has to be a first level spell or higher for dichromancy.
Yes, I knew that.
You have a bonus. Can you do anything as a bonus action?
It's a bonus action.
I would like to soil myself.
Again?
Let's see here. Let's see if I can do anything.
Well, it's Nova's go, so just think what you want to do, Kim. If you know what you want to do, while Kim's looking at.
So he's still wrapped in the...
You can see, like, Lucius grabs the chain and is melting the weighted end off, but it doesn't quite snap.
Can I use my movement? What's the length on his chain?
About 10 feet. It's currently, like, taut.
I'm going to try running...
You can't move your speed.
I can't move
zeroed.
At all.
No, your speed is 0. Like, it's got you, like, wrapped around your legs and your arms. You can like wibble, you can wobble, that's about it.
I'm just gonna drop to the floor. No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna stay still.
Okay.
End of my turn.
End of your turn. Nova.
I want want to heat metal, but it'll hurt Lucius.
It would hurt Lucius.
Does it heat the entire metal?
Yeah, so it would
heat the entire weapon, all the armor.
And then everyone who's touching it takes 2d8 fire damage.
Oh, okay.
Which wow. I think would knock
which would
him
be
down.
Enough to wipe out Lucius. Yeah.
I've got 3 HP.
Yeah.
What? How do you... Oh,
also, okay. Things like you wouldn't really be getting the full benefit of your Hexblade Curse because you don't make an attack roll with it, so you won't get the crit chance.
Okay.
Little tip. Pro gamer tip.
MLG.
Check out Tabletop Weekly for more tabletop D&D tips.
Nice. Nice.
What would you like to do, Nova? So you can see Quill unconscious behind, like next to you, Sentry... Her blow seemingly unfazing this creature. Lucius desperately trying to melt this chain that's sapping the life force out of him. You can see this red energy being drawn out of him. What does Nova do?
Can I Eldritch Blast the chain to try and finish what
you will need
Lucius
to try
started.
And hit it. Lucius had the benefit of he could just grab it because it's right next to him. You'll be aiming for a very thin chain. It will be a hard hit. I'm going to give it a high AC.
If I move up next to it, would that make
you
it
you could
easier?
Melee attack it, but... It
melee
might,
attack.
Yeah, you'd have to melee attack it if you wanted to be... but against a range attack, I'm going to give it a pretty high AC.
I will melee attack it.
Okay, so you'd
Gavin's
go...
Gavin's hammer. So
okay, well,
I
with
have,
Tiangong
yeah.
formed. So you go 1, 2...
Tian Gadwin.
Yeah. So you move up to there,
oh,
and then you
nice
bring like
shot.
A little dagger. Like, oh, look
oh,
at that.
Wow.
You
so
bring the
that,
dagger out.
How many feet?
So that was like 20 feet, I think.
So I've still got 10 foot movement.
So you bring out little dagger Tiangong, and then boom, try and clink it down. So give me a melee attack with Tiangong, please. So this is to see how well you can hit it, to see if you can cause enough damage.
So 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
Okay, you hit it, roll damage for me. So this would be a d4 plus your, I think, plus 5.
Okay. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. So you watch Nova dash up. She pulls out this shortened version of Tiangong, this little dagger. You kind of raise it in both hands and you just aim for where the point is weakest. And you're not really much of a combatant, so at first you don't really know what you're doing, but you feel that pull of Tiangong going where it thinks it needs to go and guiding your body with it. And the point of the dagger just hits exactly where the metal is beginning to pit and burn, that Lucius burnt it. As it hits, you see this pulse of purple energy at the very tip, and it does enough to just ting and break the chain. You're still wrapped up, Lucius, but the chain is no longer connected to the thing, and you kind of stumble back. It would be much easier to escape because it's just you just have to like get it off you now. Mm-hmm. And you can see this man, this Goliath, looks at the chain and then looks at you. And begin spinning this bladed edge. That's your movement and action. You have 10 feet of movement and a bonus action left.
And another
so
unit
other
bonus.
End.
The weighted end has gone, but he still has
the blade.
He still has the bladed end.
Okay.
I'm going to adjust his stats so that he can't do certain things anymore and stuff like that.
In
so yeah, very good.
You can hear a load of people chanting, "Break the chains."
Chains.
Weird.
Think of that. Yeah.
So strange.
Can I use my action just to move back 10 feet?
Yeah, yeah. Where are you going?
Just back away.
Okay.
5, 10, is that right?
Yep, so you go there. Okay.
And I don't know.
That's the rest of your turn, Sentry.
Cool. I see you, and I know you're down on the ground. I can do lay hands on you, but I know that as long as I'm still standing, I can still heal you. So I think if you're still down, he's not going to pay attention to you.
Right.
So,
you don't need to explain. You do what you want to
do.
What do you want to do? What would Sentry do?
If Sentry wants to attack, Sentry attacks.
Sentry's thinking.
She protect.
She is.
But she
protect,
also attack.
But I also
she isn't
attack.
Protect at the moment. She's full attack.
Yeah.
Full attack.
If you want to charge him and go for it.
I want to be like, how do you like it? I want to try and ensnaring strike this dude and be like, right, you wrapping my friends up.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So is that a cast on the weapon one again?
Yeah. So cast it on my
on your axe,
axe
and
again.
Then you turn around. And then you go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Yeah, we're within striking distance. Make a melee attack against this guy.
Yeah. Try and wrap him up with this purple energy that comes out of my axe.
Nice.
So let's try. I've got 17.
With the same attack roll, so I believe this is just
Do, do, do.
And it does one extra
Yeah, the next
D6.
Time you hit a creature. Yep. So, so 17 plus your attack bonus for your axe.
Five. That's 20.
Easily hits.
22.
Yep. Definitely hits this guy. The axe just carves into his stone grey flesh this time.
Nice.
So it's a D8 plus your damage bonus, plus damage and then a D6 bonus. For the ensnaring strike.
Nice.
I think the ensnaring strike is D6 at the end of his turn.
The D6 is at the start of each of its turns.
Okay.
It takes a D6 so, piercing damage.
Okay. D8, so roll a D8
plus
3, 6. I think you also have to do a save.
I think you do have to do a save as well.
And yes,
you,
and you strength have, saving throw?
Yeah, and you have advantage because you're a big dude.
Yeah, well, the problem is these purple energies, you know, go to kind of grab him and tie him up as you've done. He just kind of grins, flexes, and just... like purple energy just breaks and snaps around
God
her.
Gosh,
I'll deal with you soon, Metal Woman. But I've got something to take care of with your friend.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
And these fangs, these sharp, filed teeth just grin.
Nova's just going to look terrified. Absolutely terrified.
Anything else you want to do?
Is that all my movement left?
You have 5 feet.
5 feet left.
So you could like take a sidestep.
Yeah, I'll take a sidestep.
Yeah. And just so you kind of like
ready myself. Nice. Try and get in a protective prison.
Sure.
Position.
Yeah, absolutely. That's no. That's sentries go. Arvel Dagus.
Come on, Arvel.
So you can see him ready, Evangeline.
Evangeline.
This time it's not enough. He's like trying to track it, but as you step in front of him and you can see him looking at Quill, who's down, he takes the shot, but it just glances off this guy's back, kind of like a skimmed shot. And now here's the task of having to reload Evangeline, and you can see him beginning to do that. He kind of glances over, he's like, I'll deal with you later, dwarf.
This guy's got snappy combat for everything.
If I'm going to be out of combat, I'll play rules boss.
Yeah, sure.
Should I have made an injury check?
Constitution saving throw.
At the same time, I think I skipped my turn. Do I need to make a death save?
Did I skip your turn?
My
yeah,
God.
I did, yeah. Man, I just skipped over you because I was like, no, he's dead now.
So, according to High Roller's
so
stats,
let's do
Twitter,
death saving throw first.
Death saving throw first.
Yes.
But I was knocked down first.
True, yes, okay, yeah. So injury check first, so constitution saving throw.
Do you want another inspiration
how much,
or something?
How much damage did I deal you? It was...
10. So I had 3 health. The red beam did like 10 damage to me. So
right.
7 over the amount.
No, but it's the total damage is the...
Oh, the total damage. You did like 20 damage in one attack.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yep. Right, so constitution saving throw, just for the DC.
Okay.
It's half the damage.
So according to High Roller's Twitter, the chance of succeeding another one in this campaign is 0.55%.
Well, let's
go.
Why don't you do this?
Good luck. It's cocked.
Don't roll in notebooks.
You're on the seam of your notebook.
Okay,
that was a 1, but a D6 didn't rest on it, and that's how you check. Oh, 18.
Stop rolling on notebooks, for God's sake.
It's not like, a flat
we have a table.
Surface.
19.
Right. No injury. You're knocked down, but the energy doesn't do any lingering injuries. Now a death saving throw.
4, so I fail.
You've got 1 death saving throw.
Leave the notebook.
I'll stop it. It makes so much noise.
Do you want to use my tray?
Yes, please.
There you go. There's a nice little tray
there
for you.
Sentry, I'm sorry. He's going to do the same trick because he's still got 1 foot in shadow.
God damn it. I just want to smack him in the face all the time.
You can see now he has to get closer. He no longer has the long reach.
So
and the weighted end's gone.
Over.
And he looks at you. He's just like, big mistake, little blue woman. And he's gonna just slash at you with this chain multiple times.
Oh God,
brutal.
I was wrong about the whole. Shadow
first attack is only an 11.
Nope.
Watch me. That is a 19.
Can I cast shield?
Does that boost your AC above 19?
Yep, plus 5. So
until the end of
20.
The turn. So you're currently at 20. That is gonna be 20. Last
you
one.
You son of a gun.
Last one. He just manages to hit you. That's going to be for 11 points of damage. And although it doesn't wrap around you, you can see now the red energy is crackling down the blade instead. And that's going to be another 10. So that's a total of 17.
Jesus. How much did you say, sir?
70 damage.
Oh, no, it was 11 to start with and then another 10, so 21 total.
Why 2 attacks?
Huh? Well, no, that was the necrotic energy.
Oh, necrotic.
The red energy... As this blade cuts across Nova, it saps away her strength. And that was the last attack, so that was his last attack that hit.
Oh my God.
Face.
I love this guy, he's nice.
Yeah, he is.
Cute.
But that is the end of his go, because
because that was all three attacks. He missed the first one, second one you shielded, and then the third one just hit.
You're still standing?
Lucius. Jeez. So if you want to escape, acrobatics or athletics, and I will make the DC much, much lower because there's no like.
Can I combine those two scores?
No.
Yep. 19.
19. You kind of wiggle your way free.
I'm wiggling towards
slough them off.
Birdie.
Yep, so you can move. You can move.
What do I do? Beak to mouth?
Medicine check.
Start trying to stabilize.
Yeah, medicine check. Unless you have a potion.
No. 13.
13 stabilizes.
Wow.
No longer zero. You're no longer making death saving throws, but you will if he damages you again, you will continue making them, kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
Can I?
Yes.
I guess that was an action, right?
That was an action.
And I moved 10 feet.
Yes.
Can I drag Quill?
You can drag him half your speed. So you can drag him. You've already moved 10. Yeah, I'd say 10.
Can I pull him just out of line of sight around this
rock? Yeah, sure.
Come here, come on. I grab him by his little talon feet.
Yep, you drag him around there.
Come on, need to get you out of the way.
Don't think you can save your friend.
Stop saying things.
That's the end of Lucius. Go Quill. You are unconscious.
I'm unconscious.
But you are stable. No saving throws needed.
That's my move.
Nova?
I'm guessing I get an attack of opportunity. He gets an attack of opportunity if I move away.
If you just move, yes. If you spend your action to disengage, he won't get an attack opportunity against you.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to use action to get away.
Yep.
I want to get away from his back.
So you're going to disengage, you spend your action.
Disengage.
So you can spend your action, you can move your normal speed, so you can move 30 feet, and then you could spend another 30 feet to move as your move action.
I'm going to move towards Arvel.
Sure. Yeah, just move yourself, you've got your movement.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25.
You don't want to step on that big pile of leaves there.
30. No. Why do you do this?
I didn't even notice them.
They leaves.
I don't think I can do anything else.
You've got a move action. You could move again.
Move again?
Yeah, because that was your action to disengage.
Yeah.
Can I just move further away?
Yeah, sure, yeah. If Nova wants to just run for it and just run away, you can absolutely do that.
I don't want to run.
I don't know how your friends will judge you.
I just want to be within 120 feet of him.
Yeah, if you want to just, like, you want to back up all the way, you can absolutely
just back up all the way. Back up
to,
like, there.
Sure. Yep. So that's Nova's go. Sentry.
Wrathful Smite, please!
So you cast Wrathful Smite, you channel some of the last of your vestige of energy into your axe. And then you're going to charge him again.
Yes, head on!
Swinging the axe, I love it. Go for it. So attack roll.
Someone needs to do damage on him.
Yeah.
I just don't want him to take my head off. So.
Or lacerate you there.
Yeah. 8+3.
You need to make the attack roll first.
Oh yeah, whoops. 17.
Plus 5, easily going to hit.
22. Oh, nice.
Hits.
Nice.
And then d8+3. 5.
And then what's the effect of Wrathful
Smite? And then the effect of Wrathful Smite
instant kill,
is an extra 1d6 of psychic damage, and then if the target is a creature, you have to make a wisdom saving throw or be frightened of me.
GG, we did it. He's dead.
So another d6 psychic damage for me.
Give us the HP marks.
Another 8.
Inspiration.
Okay, so you watch as this time the blade connects, the energy flows into him. You see him like startled look at you. He's just like,
you can. I'm not afraid of you. I was born in the shadows of a mountain. You think I'm ever afraid of a creature like you?
But you can see, like, his mind rattled slightly by the psychic damage. Not frightened, sadly, past his wisdom thing.
Rattled will do.
So that is Sentry's go. Arvel spends his whole turn reloading. At the start of his go, he's going to look at Sentry. He looks over at Nova.
Running away, huh?
Yes.
Shame means leaving your friend to die.
Sentry, you get an attack of opportunity as he steps into the shadows and then appears here.
No.
Attack of opportunity, please.
Attack of opportunity.
Kill him. So it's a normal attack, so you just make a normal melee attack with your axe.
But kill him at the same
16
time.
16 plus, was it?
Your attack range is 5, 21. That's going to hit. Yep.
Fantastic. And then D8 plus 3.
Come on.
5.
Yep. You just clip him on the back and you can see you cut through and his blood is dripping from many of these wounds, but he just kind of grunts with it, steps into the shadows, whoop, whoop, appears next to Lucius and Quill. Quill.
Send his echo.
One attack comes down at you.
Does it? That's with advantage, Mark, and it's an automatic critical hit. Thank you for
unconscious.
Just to remind you.
Yep, I know.
Can I have double inspiration, please?
Tom, you're still talking.
I just.
Yep.
Could you not use your inspiration?
I'm panicked.
Can you not use your inspiration to like max AC it?
Oh shit!
I don't know.
Because you were stabilized, so.
Just at zero, right?
You are still unconscious. Oh, I need to check this. This is quite important.
Beautiful.
It's so good.
So real. It's like I'm there.
Meanwhile.
Oh.
The horror.
Girl's just on the floor there.
You just killed yourself with a rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid that is two automatic death saving throws.
What?
No!
Two of them?
It's two auto, because it is a, if you take any damage while at zero hit points, you suffer a death saving throw failure. If the damage is from a critical hit, you suffer two failures instead. If a creature is unconscious, any attack that hits the creature is a critical hit if the attacker is within 5 feet of the creature of which he is. That's two death saving throws, Quillac and Kalar. The other two attacks, as he does this out of spite. He's not actually trying to kill Quill. He does this as a message to Nova of like, you're going to run away, are you? Fine. There's your friend dead. Then he turns on Lucius, because Lucius is an immediate threat.
But acquaintances!
Can I roll the spot again?
Go on.
A crit would make an injury save.
Yep.
Can he use his inspiration at any point right now?
Yeah, if he wants to...
I'm using my inspiration to stop this.
You have advantage. At least. Do you want to use it now or on your next death saving throw, which could kill you?
I'll use it on my death saving throw next turn. I can face another injury. The constitution, 9.
I need you to roll a d20 for me, please.
Oh, no!
Alright,
If a creature is knocked to zero hit points multiple times in the same encounter, then the risk of injury increases. Each time a creature rolls on the injury table, each time they roll on the injury table, so you're fine for
it. Someone pick one of these d20s.
I am not taking responsibility.
Just do it.
Oh, it's gonna be this one.
3.
Ooh. Wait, did you roll? No, you didn't roll inspiration. Oh,
so, the only person who sees this is Lucius. That as this wicked kind of bladed grapple
the other wing
goes down, it catches Quill in the face and gouges out an eye.
What the hell?
No!
My perception!
You have disadvantage on perception checks that rely on and ranged attacks. If both of your eyes are wounded, you are considered blind. So you can choose if it's left or right.
Oh, you can choose. Oh, Tom, you get a choice.
So Lucius, you watch as this thing just rips the eye and it causes a deep scar all the way down Quill's face. Like this jagged thing. And then two bladed sacks come your way. The first of which is an 11 to hit you, Lucius.
Nope.
The second one, I rolled really bad. 14?
Yeah, that will hit.
And you've got no ability to resist, have you?
I'm going to go down.
So that's going to be 6 points of slashing.
I'm down.
I mean, he would have done necrotic damage, but you're down anyway, so...
Buddy!
Can you make a constitution save? Throw for me, Chris.
Wee, bonjour.
In fact, actually, hang on. I need to work out the DC, so this would have been... Oh, my God.
6.
I mean, yeah, the necrotic damage would have dealt...
Shall I lose mine too?
The necrotic damage would have dealt 17 damage to you.
So the number
would have been 20, so you took 6, so it would have been 23. Half of that would have been 11, so yeah, you failed. Can you roll a DC? Can you roll a D20 for me, please?
Come on, a roast dice. Please. 6.
Your part of your leg is torn. Your leg is broken.
Oh my god!
No, you've just healed a broken leg! We just healed a broken leg!
Sentry and Nova. Nova, you look as this guy just decimates Quill and Lucius and looks at you.
I'm just gonna start crying.
Yep.
She's just gonna start crying.
Lucius, death saving throw, please.
That's cocked.
Okay. It was an 8.
That was terrible. It was cocked.
18.
18. One success. Lucius, Quill, I need you to make a death saving throw. Yes, you may use your inspiration.
Can I have another inspiration just immediately after because of how many rules I've reminded you of now?
Possibly.
Come on.
So 2, you can roll twice, take the highest.
Okay, that's 11, so I have succeeded. And a natural 20.
That means you automatically stabilize. In fact, you might go to 1 hit point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my. So I want to say Siaska, but that's not the one I worship.
Hesper.
Hesper.
By Hesper, by Siasha,
I have
Palador.
Not had to check this many rules in a while.
I have the power!
Dasher.
Well, Listen.
Dude, let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. If you roll a 20 on a d20, you regain one hit point.
Oh my god, so both those failures are gone.
But, so you come awake. I'm going to make a check for him to see if he notices. I'm going to give him disadvantage because he is in combat.
Don't say see it too soon.
Okay. You don't know if he's noticed you or not, but yeah, you kind of like... You kind of feel it, and your eye is completely ruined. It's just covered in blood. You can barely see out the other one. But you are alive.
I see him in 2D.
That's at the end of Quill's go. Nova. You can see that this brute is wounded. You can see dozens of, like, bloody marks all over his body. And he's, you know, he's kind of got, like, a boot over Lucius's body. And he's just, like, swinging this thing now.
She's just gonna, like, full on crying at this point and just screaming, why?
Yeah.
You don't even know me, why?
Because the hunger compels me.
I'm just gonna hold up one hand. She's got no words.
You're holding Shangong in the other.
No words. I'm gonna hold up and I'm gonna Eldritch Blast, but also, can I green? No, I can't because it's not a melee.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So Eldritch Blast.
So I'm going to Eldritch Blast.
Sure, give me a Zac roll.
It's a 9.
But through the tears and the pain, you just can't focus. The energy comes out, but it kind of almost just falls short. It just kind of like dissipates into the air in front of him. Just this emotion kind of like throwing you all over the place, unable to control yourself. You can still move in bonus action if you have anything you'd like to do. You can start moving towards him. You can. What would you like to do? You can make a run for it. Arvel is like kind of trying to give you cover.
I'll start moving closer.
Okay. Yeah. Sentry.
I'm gonna be.
So
I'm
you can see
so
Quill and
furious.
Lucius down.
Yeah, and I'm. My eyes are just gonna like go black.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be so mad.
Okay.
I'm gonna charge at him full on again. I'm just gonna keep charging at him, trying to hit him. And I want to swing my axe, but try and aim for one of his arms.
Okay.
Wow.
Try and chop one of his arms off.
Oh, you're currently you're basically, at this point, Sentry is stood over Quill and Lucius. You're like literally planting yourself over them.
Yeah.
Just whoosh, swinging the axe. Go for it. Give me an attack roll.
Badass.
Ah, 9.
This time he brings the chain up, manages to wrap it around the axe and swing it to the side. Unable for you to hit. At the end of Sentry's go, Arvel. Arvel will also move up. Can you move the D4 just closer to behind Nova?
Away from the...
Yeah, he's going to move towards, yeah, just moving just behind you. And he's got two bolts, and he's just like, get away from them! Yeah, he's got... His accent, he's gone now. He says it in a Texan accent.
In a dwarvish accent.
That is 14 just hits.
That's up.
Ooh, 9 points of damage.
Nice. Oh, come on, Arvel.
Good boy.
Well, I don't want him to take your thunder, but you can see another bolt kind of like thuds into this Goliath's leg.
Take
like,
your life.
Okay.
You miserable little creature. Fight me like a real man.
He calls out. That was Arvel's go. His go. He's going to go ham on Sentry. He sees this like figure in front of him, denying him this kill.
Furious.
All right, first attack is going to be a 21 to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hits.
That's going to be 8 points of slashing damage.
Okay, sure.
But then this red necrotic energy is going to come out. That's going to be another 5 necrotic.
Still standing.
Yep, still standing.
Second attack is... Ooh, that was a 3-9 to hit you.
No way. No way.
Second attack is a 13.
No.
So, boosh, you're just blocking them as best you can. Just stood over them as the two of you are just battling it out now in this frenzy of blades.
Yes.
How cool.
Lucius.
13 damage, yeah.
That's a good saving throw.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is. Come on, Lucius.
That's a fail.
So that's now 2 failures.
Oh, it's 1 success, 1 failure.
1 success, 1 failure, okay. No, sorry, yeah, it was Quill that was on the 2.
Yeah.
Quill, you're on 1. You're underneath him.
I'm directly underneath him.
I will say at this point, considering he was attacking Sentry, he does not seem to know you're alive. So if you attack him, he'll have advantage on any attack rolls.
I'm going to Guiding Bolt his arms.
You can do it first or second level?
I'm going to do it at second level.
So from underneath him, you're just going to be like...
Yeah, so I'm going to full power.
You know what,
Tom?
You're going to have advantage anyway. I was going to give you inspiration.
Okay. Oh, please. This does a lot of damage, by the way.
If it hits,
if it
let's
hits.
Hope it hits.
What the hell kind of dice were those? A 10 plus...
Your spell attack.
5.
Yeah.
Oh, it is!
Yeah.
So, from underneath, what does it look like, the spell? Like, you're so kind of, your one eye opens.
This is that one that I use down in Dwylin Den. So yeah. It's just that big, just streak of light. But so, I guess at level 2, it's even brighter. Even
where's it? Bigger. Is it from a hand? Is it from your one good eye?
I think it was
you kind of created a hand Hesper, wasn't it?
Yeah, a human hand sort of
like enshrouds your own. Yeah,
and that sort of launches out.
So underneath him, you just kind of hold it up against his chest. He looks down, huh? And gets kind of blown back by this radiant energy.
I need 5d6.
Oh,
wow, this is good.
Tommy
amazing.
Hazel.
Oh, come on. And also, future attacks have advantage on him.
That's nice.
Very good.
Wow! So 10, 13, 16, 19 damage.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
19 whole Dimagios.
He is staggering. Barts of him have been blown away. He's like barely on his feet as he looks down like, you're supposed to be dead! As he like staggers to his feet, barely alive. Bonus action or move?
I mean, I could, bonus action, scratch it with my talons.
Can you do that as a bonus action? Is that an Arakova thing?
It's an unarmed attack.
It's a special thing you can do as a bonus action?
Yeah, normally so unarmed attacks are my talons. Basically.
Yes, but an attack is normally an action.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's not a bonus.
So, some creatures have abilities where they can make natural attacks as a bonus action, like Tabaxi and stuff, so I didn't know if that was a special thing.
I mean, I cast a spell, but I...
Yeah, your action's being used.
But I will basically just yell at Sentry, like, now is the time, just to take him down.
Okay, so Bardic Inspiration.
My Bardic Inspiration.
So you get an extra d6 to your attack roll, and you'll have anybody has advantage on their attack rolls, by the way.
Fantastic.
And we go to Nova first.
So seeing that Quill has come back.
Yeah, and you can see he's ragged, and now you probably can see the eye. Like, and it's just ruined half of his face.
And now that I know that I could help Lucius if I could get to him, I just go, and so he said, you were supposed to be dead.
Yeah, you were supposed to be dead.
I'm gonna say, no, it's your time to die. And I'm gonna hold out Tiangong, and I'm gonna cast Toll the Dead.
Okay.
So I'll shake.
So what's that for me?
Tiangong.
Saving throw, or is this an attack roll?
It is. Succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
He doesn't seem wise.
Wisdom 13.
I don't think he's too wise.
Rolled a 15, and he's got a plus 1, it's a 16. He just staggers, and you can see these red veins growing up, and he's like, no. No.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna take one of you with me, and he begins raising this spike chain down towards Lucius.
No, not Lucius.
Sentry.
I say not Lucius, I would have said that for anyone.
I'm engaging him.
Particularly
again.
Not him.
Stop him. I'm going to
So you have advantage, so you roll twice, take the highest, and you can add the d6.
Okay.
So,
3.
So see if you roll another higher one.
5.
Roll the d6.
8 plus 5 is 13.
13.
Just.
Oh! AC is 13. Oh
and
my
then
god.
D8 plus 3.
AC is 13.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
6.
So, 9 damage. How do you want to? How do you get?
Yes.
I don't want to steal Matt's. How do you want to do this? But like,
With both hands, I just slam it down
so
as hard as I can.
Drop the shield. You pick up the axe, and you can see him. His attention focuses on Lucius as he goes in for this killing blow, and then you're just like,
screaming at him.
It just embeds into his forehead. His veins begin to pulse, and they blow out of his body. This kind of black ichor. And you can, this ichor, like the blood that comes out as it hits the ground, his blood almost writhes like some sort of like symbiote or something like that, and then it just melts away into nothing. And his body just falls back, collapses onto his back. Out of interest, a bolt does go flying past where he was, as Arvel had already taken the shot. But yeah, you guys are out of combat. Lucius, however, you are still dying,
Lucius.
So. He would go before, so give me a dice roll, because if this is...
It's a 5 fail.
But that's only 2 failures. I was like, because if that was a 1, that would have been 2.
I would have died.
So then we go to Quill.
I will just roll over, slap a hand on Lucius, and healing whatever the...
Cure wounds or healing words?
Whatever the big one is.
Cure wounds.
Cure wounds.
You want to do it at second level or first level?
That's touch anyway, so...
Yeah.
First level.
Okay, so D8 plus wisdom modifier.
D8 plus 3.
Six health.
Six health. It's enough to stabilize him and keep him, get him up. And with that, we're out of initiative.
Shit, son.
Actually.
What do you mean, actually, are we?
So that would have been the next turn. What do you guys do?
Just for a technical point, I've healed 5.
Okay, thanks. Just so you know, isn't it? As long as you're tracking it.
Just so you know. I'm going to do Lay on Hands. I'm going to use 5 on Quill, 5 on Lucius.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
5. Heal.
So is it like a set amount that you just have to share out?
Yeah, I get 15.
She gets 5 per paladin level, and then Sentry can just go, you have 5, you have 3.
Oh, wow, okay. Oh,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's like a whole day thing. You don't get any more back and stuff like that until you rest. Anybody else? What are you guys doing? Are you just healing, taking a moment?
I'm writhing in pain. I'm writhing in pain because broken leg.
How is Nova? I've got 5 left I can use on Nova.
Only half.
Okay. I'll put 5 on Nova anyway.
You sure?
Well. Yeah, I'll use it all.
I mean, you're probably lower than that.
It's fine.
Bam, you get that.
You sure? 5, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what I do. I really don't know what Quill would do in this situation.
So all 4 of you, I guess like an Arvel as well, kind of trots up to you. And are you probably like, I don't know, do you guys like just slump against like the ground and the rocks, like catching your breath from this
agony? I'm just going to be falling my eyes out. I'm just going to throw myself on Lucius and Quill and just be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't think he'd do that.
Why are we doing this? This is madness.
Arvel is trying to like split your leg. He's like, come on.
No, don't touch it. Don't. Please.
We've got to set I'm losing his voice because I'm like thinking it's like, I'm trying to set it, boy. Like, you just gotta give me.
Just focus on Birdie. He got hit in the face.
We're gonna fix you all. We're gonna fix you all up, but we need to focus on what we can do now.
I'm just like patting.
Yeah, he's trying, but like, Arvel's not a medic. He doesn't really know what he's doing.
I'm just patting Quill's face, like, Quill, I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry! I didn't think he would do that!
I don't think he's saying anything. I think he would just be, like, dead stare, like, just completely gonzo for a while.
Just looking up, one eye, and you see this, like...
It's like
a real jagged scar, and the eye has been carved through, so it's probably gone milky and sort of, like, ruined.
Yeah, it's, like, on the right side. So I've got left arm, right eye... This is episode 11.
Yeah. So just for your information, Chris Trott, your movement speed is halved. You have disadvantage on dexterity, skill checks, saving throws, and any saves against being knocked prone. Like I said, for you, Quill, you have disadvantage on perception checks that rely on sight and range attacks. I'm probably going to say that's going to affect your passive perception as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll probably take a -5 penalty to it, so it'll be 15.
On D&D Beyond, I'm going to put the restraint.
I mean, you're still incredibly perceptive.
Yeah, still super, super perceptive, but...
Restraint's pretty much the same thing, right?
Sort of, but yeah, we need to keep it. And I think, actually, that's actually 6:30, so I think we're going
to
take a break.
Yeah.
I think we're going to take a break.
I think we really need
decompress,
to.
Decompress, but man, check us out afterwards, because as far as you can look around this site, there's no sign of the other 3 kidnappers or Vala.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode and thanks again to our sponsors D&D Beyond and Brilliant.org. There's links to both of them in the episode description. Also, if you somehow missed the alarm at the start, we're going to be at MCM Comic Con in London on the 26th and 27th of October for a live show and signings. Come meet us if you're going and follow us on Twitter at HighRollersD&D for specific timings and we'll see you there. Also, we've just released some shiny metal Erois themed dice on store.yogscast.com. Check them out and remember you can use the code HighRollers on checkout to get 10% off not just HighRollers merch but all Yogscast merch. Maybe you can grab yourself a 10-year hoodie while you're at it. Anyway, we'll be back on Thursday for the next episode where we figure out if we're able to continue on our journey to save Vala. We'll see you then.